I'm Jane Crowther, editor of Total Film, and welcome to Inside Total Film, the podcast for the Smarter Movie Magazine. And today we are talking WandaVision, so don't go any further if you've not seen it all. And alongside me, I have our deputy editor, Matt Matum.
Hello.
And also the editor of SFX Magazine, our sister publication, Darren Scott.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming along. Darren is obviously an uber geek. Would you say that? Is that fair?
I think that's fair enough, yes.
So he knows everything there is to know about this. Okay, so let's do a quick spoiler alert. We are going to be talking all things WandaVision. We will be talking all the spoilers. Do not go any further. Are we ready to go then?
It's twilight time.
Wanda and Vision, aren't we a five pair?
This is our home now. I want us to fit in.
Oh, this is gonna be a gas!
So, WandaVision, it finished at the weekend. What were your initial thoughts? Were you satisfied? Did you think it did everything it promised? Matt?
Whoa, that's a big question. Overall, I was satisfied by it. There weren't really surprises we might have expected from the finale. Like, I think especially what we've come to expect from Marvel, you do expect a big cameo or an end credit scene.
Where was Doctor Strange? That's who I thought was going to turn up.
Where was Doctor Strange? Where was Falcon and Winter Soldier? I thought they might have got a little kind of, you know, completely out of context scene drop in the, you know, mid credits or something just to set that up. Because, I mean, that's only a couple of weeks away now before we'll be talking about that. One other thing I was a little bit disappointed about was what happened with Evan Peters' character, just because when he first arrived, I really thought, oh my God, like this is opening up multiverses and, you know, it's just going to blow open the X-Men world to be able to join the MCU as we know it. But obviously that didn't really happen. So I was a bit disappointed and obviously just ended up being Ralph Boner. Still, it's fun to see him in there and, you know, doesn't rule out multiverse, but I was just hoping for something a bit more sort of groundbreaking from that. But overall, I found it very emotionally satisfying. And I thought it was a nice conclusion to this story as it's been building over these 9 episodes.
Yeah, what did you think?
I think I was kind of led to believe that there was going to be a bit more to it. I think because people read so much into it and were picking apart any kind of potential spoiler or Easter egg or anything like that. So from the first episode, I thought, okay, this is all being created by Wanda because of her grief. And so when that was revealed, I thought, oh, is there not going to be more to it than this? Not that that's a bad thing in any way. I really, really enjoyed that. And I don't think that that's something that is talked about enough, particularly in live action superhero. I mean, obviously in the comics, it is talked about quite a lot. And I'm glad that Marvel tackled that. And I'm also really glad that we're finally starting to see more of a female-led series and films, long time overdue. Certainly my love of Marvel in particular for comics that when I was younger came from seeing the female superheroes and the villains. I'm glad that they're sort of finally catching up with that. And obviously in the final episode to see two witches going at it in the sky is absolutely brilliant for someone like me. I loved that. Camp as hell. But I kind of feel now after 9 weeks of watching Wanda process her grief that I'm now going to have to actually get on with processing my own grief. I'm going to come into the real world for a bit.
Bereft that's only 9 weeks.
Should it have been longer, do you think?
I think they could have gone for longer, don't you? Don't you think they could have spun it out? But then, as with all things Marvel, which we don't know and they have all the secrets, is we can't see the bigger plan. We can't see outside of Westview, can we? They obviously know exactly where this is going and they want to compartmentalize that into a movie or a show or wherever they're taking it. So it will always all make sense when we get further down the road. But right now, I sort of was left wanting more, I think.
Yeah, because they obviously leave it with clearly so much more Wanda story to tell now that she's kind of taken on the Scarlet Witch form and has this kind of classic costume at last. And obviously we get that end credit sting of her doing the Doctor Strange style astral projection while she's sort of learning from that Book of the Dead looking Darkhold, you know, while kind of living her little country life. And, you know, you could hear her children then, couldn't we, as well? So we know just from the synopses that she's going to play a big part in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So they're clearly gearing up a lot more for her. But will we see Vision again? Who knows?
Oh, who knows? Please. I really, really loved, not to take away from Wanda, it's obviously her show, but I did really love Paul Bettany as Vision and the expansion of him as a sort of character and as a real sort of empathetic character. Even though he's a computer, a robot, he really sort of embodies human empathy and humankind and kindness, doesn't he? Well, he does to me anyway. And so I really hope we're going to see more of him. But they've said, haven't they, no season two for this show. There isn't one planned. That could be Marvel jiggery pokery, or it could be because there's a movie planned. Do you think there's scope for a Vision movie?
I think there's definitely scope for Wanda and Vision to have other adventures, whether or not that's a second season. I know certainly from speaking in SFX, one of them said it was a perfectly formed story and another said it could go another way and it could carry on. So, and obviously that now with the reveal in this final episode that there is the White Vision, there is going to be more for them in the future. And we know that they're going to reshape, as it were, the Avengers. And as Matt just mentioned, you know, Doctor Strange is going to play a large part in where the Scarlet Witch goes next. So I think we're definitely going to see other adventures, whether or not that's going to be another 9-episode series. I don't know if it necessarily needs that, but I would certainly watch it. I would eat it up with a big spoon.
With a great big spoon. So let's talk about, you know, other characters that are key in this that we've been sort of introduced to. Monica Rambeau, obviously.
Amazing
and so cool. And in this episode, this final episode, we got to see her with her proper eyes glowing and her powers actually happening in front of our eyes. How cool was that? And where is she going in that end title sting? Where do we think she's going to be going off to? Up in the sky, as they pointed. Where do we think?
It's got to be Talos from Captain Marvel, hasn't it? The Ben Mendelsohn character.
The Skrull.
Yeah, the Skrull, because this Skrull comes up and she says, oh, someone, you know, who knew your mum. And it's a he. I mean, he seems like the most obvious candidate.
And he'd be in a spaceship, so he'd be up in the sky. But who do you think, Darren?
Nick Fury is up in the sky, isn't he? In the Spider-Man Far From Home final scene, he's up there with the Skrulls.
And Nick pretty much is the godfather, isn't he? He knows everything about everything and knows what everyone's up to. So he would be a good person to check in with if Monica's just starting out in her new life as a superhero. Maybe he has all the answers.
I mean, certainly Monica was my introduction to Captain Marvel. When she was Captain Marvel, when I started getting into comics and she was in the Secret Wars a very, very long time ago now. So I'm delighted that she's going to have more of a role, presumably in Captain Marvel 2. But who knows if she's going to be another Captain Marvel or if they're going to give her one of her other comic book names.
What are her other comic book names? I'm not completely au fait with her with Monica Rambeau. What else do we need to know about her?
Another one of the characters that Monica Rambeau was in the comic books was Photon, and various other names like Pulsar, the Sun Goddess, Daystar, Scepter, Lady of Light. In the comic book, she was Captain Marvel as well. There have been various Captain Marvels over the years. So who knows what Marvel jiggery pokery could go on. They could throw any kind of curveball on that one. But again, it's brilliant to see more women in these roles, as they should be, because the Marvel Universe is full of powerful women, like Agatha Harkness, for example.
Well, let's talk Agatha Harkness. I mean, fabulous Catherine Hahn. How amazing was she as this dastardly witch? And as you say, camp as Christmas, but just exactly what you want, isn't it? Her hovering in the sky with her hair and her dark makeup and her grubby fingers. Oh, she was lovely, wasn't she? I thought she was fantastic to watch. And I loved, as you say, that the final big dust-up was just these two women trying to outsmart each other. Even though they have all this power at their fingertips, it's all about who can actually outsmart the other one. And she takes that lesson that Agatha told her and then turns it on her. What were your thoughts on her as a comic book geek? Did they do her justice?
Well, in the comic book, she's actually quite old. She's not nearly as glamorous as Catherine is. So it was a bit of a sort of curveball, another of the surprise Marvel moments. So I think they've done her justice because, I mean, Catherine is incredible in that role. And it'd be interesting to see where they take it if they do decide to age her up. I mean, obviously, Agatha Harkness has various other guises. In the comic, she mentors Scarlet Witch. She helps her deal with the powers that she's got. She's also a close ally of the Fantastic Four, who will now be joining the MCU at some point. It's all kind of coming together. Will Agatha return? I'd like to think so. Will she always be a villain? Possibly not. I'm a little bit intrigued as to where she is physically, because Westview now is no longer underneath Scarlet Witch's control, but Agatha is trapped in her own mind.
Yeah, is it another dimension? Will Doctor Strange be able to reach her there? What do you think, Matt?
My reading of that moment was just that she was basically just, yeah, trapped inside the sort of body of that character and, you know, perhaps silently screaming inside, but just unable to do anything other than just move on the autopilot of that kind of nosy neighbour.
Which is how character. We all feel at the moment, isn't it? Just silently screaming inside.
But there was a few things that I wasn't sure about. Like, because this was the thing I was questioning, having just watched the episode this morning. When they're having their big fight at the end and Wanda takes on her true sort of Scarlet Witch form, did you presume she was absorbing some powers of Agatha's, or did you think she was just manifesting in her sort of true form and just realizing her potential, because she was sucking some of that purple
I sort of thought I need to sort of watch this again to work out which way it's going, because obviously the bait and switch was that you thought that the transfer of power was going the other way, and then she actually doesn't have any power within the runes. But yeah, maybe she did. And also, like, if Agatha is stuck in her own mind in Westview somewhere, where are the boys calling out from? So in that final credit scene, we hear the boys' voices. Well, I thought they disappeared along with everything else, but no, they're still somewhere in the world. Where are they?
If we're now talking about what we're slightly confused by. I was also slightly confused, and maybe this was because I couldn't see properly through all my tears and stuff, but when she was saying her goodbyes to Viz, she was saying all these different things, like, you know, you're my memory, etc. But she said, you're the piece of the mind stone that's in me. And I thought, right, is this like a lovely metaphor, or is she talking literally, does she genuinely have a piece of mind stone inside her? Clear it up for us.
Here we go.
I think what Wanda and Vision do in the privacy of their own home is their own business. So if there's a bit of that stone in Wanda, then let's not go there.
Let's not kink-shame them, eh?
I thought that was all lovely metaphors. I didn't read into that. But I think so much of WandaVision's success has been people picking apart the smallest mentions in the series for the last 9 weeks and trying to work out what that might mean, who it might allude to, who characters might be. And we have to consider there was a scene in the final episode where Vision and the White Vision had moments of exchanging data or something going on. And there was a flash of yellow, of course, when the blue light at the front of White Vision's head turned yellow. So if that stone is able to pass in other ways, perhaps that is how there is a part of that within Wanda that will allow her to reconnect with Vision or White Vision.
Yeah, I mean, it's called the Mind Stone, so maybe you can transfer it through memory or knowledge or a shared astral plane or whatever it is. Maybe he can sort of divide it up and leave bits in other people, as it were. That sounds terrible, but you know what I mean. And then are they maybe all going to come together? And again, don't read into that. But are they going to come together and then that would form an all-powerful mind stone? Who knows? I'm now thinking of the possibilities.
Now you're becoming those people on the internet that pick apart every episode and find out what they mean. I think that there was a part of the episode where they discussed memory, the power of memory and things like that. So I think that perhaps there is something in that, that he is that moment where there was all these flashbacks to previous episodes and previous Avenger films and things like that when Vision and the White Vision were battling in that library. So there's definitely something in that, I think, will go somewhere else.
Maybe there's going to be like a 50 first dates element where she's going to have to get White Vision to fall in love with her again.
Yeah, and he doesn't know.
He has some of that memory and that material, doesn't he, inside him. So,
but where's he gone?
He has potential. Who knows?
Who knows?
So I must admit, that was one thing I did really like about the episode. I know I saw some people kind of complaining that it sort of devolved into this big CGI battle, because I know some people wanted something a bit smaller scale. I personally enjoyed it, like you guys, and I felt like, come on, this is Marvel. At the end of the day, this isn't actually like a David Lynch film, you know. People do have certain expectations. These are superheroes after all. I did like the fact that the Vision battle, while it was a bit sort of Superman 3 at first, I liked how it kind of did end up coming down to this philosophical discussion, and that's how they ended up stopping.
In a library.
Absolutely. I thought that was just like a really nice touch, and I really liked how that bit was resolved.
I also liked, speaking of nice touches, that when Wanda and Agatha started going at it, she chucked a car on top of her and she went to look for her, and just her boots were there, like the Wizard of Oz. Such a nice little touch, such a little hat tip to the Wizard of Oz. Lovely. And also, you know, the Wizard of Oz is a very similar thing, an entire world, an entire place full of people made up of somebody's own psyche and the people that they remember in their lives. So I hadn't really thought about that correlation with WandaVision before, but Wizard of Oz is quite similar to this show.
Can I also add, there's a moment where I'm sure you briefly see Oz the Great and Powerful flash up on the cinema marquee.
Yes, you do.
And
yep.
Oz the Great and Powerful is directed by Sam Raimi, who's going to direct Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So
yeah,
it was a little kind of, you know...
Not and also they had the Tannhauser Gate or whatever it was, didn't they? Which is Blade Runner.
It's mentioned in Roy Batty's speech as well, which I was trying to work out a connection to that, which I couldn't quite. It evaded me, you know, if it was just beyond it just being a reference. But I mean, perhaps but it's then, to do yeah, with the sort of more human than human aspect of Vision, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It must be a reference to the whole, you know, robots not knowing they're robots and being sentient beings who really sort of love and grieve and all of the rest of the things. I was thinking it was a Vision nod, thinking to where that might go. And does White Vision, as you were saying, not know who he is, but actually he really is Vision? Oh, I don't know, that whole speech about is the boat the same with the planks with the rot and is it the same and not the same actually blew my mind, and I was just like, I'm confused, I don't know. So maybe I've taken that too far. You know, obviously over the 9 weeks we've had lots of Easter eggs within it of where we're going to get to in episode 9, but were there any other hints of what we might see in the future?
I think there was a lot in terms of the adverts that appeared throughout most of the series, and I think a lot of that's probably not paid off, because people might have thought in WandaVision, but I think possibly will make sense down the line for other things, as so often Marvel do. I also quite like that there wasn't any huge MCU cameos in episode 9, as everyone seems to be building it up to. And I think with Paul Bettany saying that there was going to be such a huge cameo of someone that he's wanted to work with for such a long time, it's very clever, very funny, because obviously it was himself that he wanted to work with. But people were expecting Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four. They're expecting Captain America to return. They're expecting Doctor Strange. And I actually really liked that didn't detract from Wanda's story, that suddenly we got this all bells and whistles, shiny new, here's a big other superhero. I think we need to sort of perhaps be retrained. It needs to not be about the end moments and the after credits and the stunt moment. It can actually just be about, hey, here's this massive show about grief and how it really affects people. And we should be able to just accept that. And the way that Wanda has to now go and live with what she's done, unwittingly, we should be able to just go, actually, we didn't need to have some massive X-Men moment in here. Those will come, they will have their moment. And the Mutants has just apparently been announced or is about to be announced. So we will get all of that. Let Wanda have her moment. You know, she's obviously been going through it.
She has. And another little moment that I thought, oh, what's going on there, was when somebody first mentioned to Monica Captain Marvel, she wasn't best pleased. So what has Captain Marvel done at some point that she's not that thrilled with her about? Is there bad blood between Monica and Captain Marvel? And is Captain Marvel 2, the film, going to delve into Captain Marvel maybe not being all brilliant and all good, and maybe she's made a mistake and something's happened between those two?
We've got a lot of time to fill in with Monica, haven't we? Because obviously she was just a kid in Captain Marvel in the 90s. Then we see her in this in the present day. So there's all that time to fill in. And obviously her mum, Maria, was ill and Monica missed, you know, the last stages of her illness because of the blip, and she kind of comes back to the hospital and she's already dead. So I don't know, maybe something to do with Captain Marvel gave her that illness. Maybe something.
Yeah, that could be. What do you think, Darren?
I'm still hanging on there for what might happen between them, in that Monica might take the name Captain Marvel, because she was in the comics for a time Captain Marvel. So I think they're possibly, hopefully, going to play on that. I think, as Matt says there, it may have something to do with the fact that something has gone on that we're not privy to yet. But
yes,
bring it on.
Something in the intervening years. So maybe she's pissed off that, you know, Captain Marvel didn't do more and wasn't available when they needed her during Infinity War, when things were just starting to sort of go really bad. And she could have spent that time with her mother had Marvel turned up sooner. I don't know. lots to find out. It's making me really excited for Captain Marvel 2, the movie.
Yeah, I must say, as much as I kind of enjoyed this series in itself, it's left me excited as well for what's to come, which is kind of no small thing, really, because we've had such a big break from it, relatively speaking, because of cinemas being closed and all that. This is like the longest we've gone between Marvel properties for ages, and especially as we'd reached a big conclusion with Endgame. This to then kind of, you know, generate all that excitement to see what's going to happen coming forward. Well done, WandaVision, for that.
So off the back of WandaVision, where do we think Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to go? Is it going to slot into this? Will we see the repercussions of what's happened in WandaVision reflected in Falcon Winter Soldier?
I think that is a technical question, in that I want to say that they filmed Falcon and Winter Soldier first.
I think they definitely filmed some of it first, and then I think they had like a COVID break, I think, and then came back and did some more.
So who knows? They may now be able to retroactively reference WandaVision in later episodes of Falcon. Who knows? I think that's possibly quite likely. Although they could also go the other way and just completely have Falcon as its own separate thing. I'm definitely intrigued to see where they take Falcon now, having seen what they were capable of doing with WandaVision. Because WandaVision is going to be a longer series in comparison to Falcon. I think Falcon is just 6 episodes, isn't it?
I think they're 1 hour each, though, yeah. So I think it's going to be this similar sort of overall running time.
I'm interested to know, because obviously you're film boffins, and that's your bread and butter. How do you feel about Marvel films now versus longer Marvel cinematic experiences in episode formats?
I like them, but it's this whole thing that, as it has been with all Marvel films, you need to see all of them to understand. They all fit together like a jigsaw. So I feel a little bit of sort of content anxiety that I can't just then watch the next Marvel film, because I'll need to have seen WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier and Loki before something else comes out to understand what's going on and to understand the complexity and the layers of it. So it's just giving me a bit of content anxiety in terms of, am I going to be able to see all this stuff? Because there's so much to watch. But apart from that, I think they're totally, you know, as gripping and as fun. It's almost a shame you can't watch them on a big screen. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, it's definitely obviously nice to be able to dig into some of the smaller characters as well, that you could have never devoted that much time to Wanda and Vision in a bigger Avengers film, for example. But I'll still be excited to go and see the standalone films as well. It's just interesting to see how it'll fit because of the delays we've had to the film. So obviously we should have had Black Widow before this in the kind of grand scheme of things. That was obviously supposed to come out last summer originally. Now sort of scheduled for May, but who knows really what's going to happen with it.
And we're supposed to be getting the Eternals in the summer, but
yeah, and we're supposed to be getting Shang-Chi this summer, and then we're supposed to be getting the Eternals later this year. I just don't see how that's gonna happen unless there's a major change to the cinema schedules as we know them. You know, we haven't even seen a trailer or an official still for Shang-Chi yet, and that's supposed to be out in a few months. So either it's going to have like a sudden marketing blitz, or there's going to be inevitable postponement. So, I mean, it must be really tricky for them because these stories are so interconnected. It must be hard to balance it all when cinema releases are still so uncertain.
I suppose they've kind of got a bit of a safety net in that they've got 9 episodes of WandaVision, 6 episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then I want to say 6 for Loki. Don't quote me on that in case it's not correct. But they've got a few month window, and obviously Loki's gone back to June. We thought it was going to be a bit sooner. So it does give them a bit of breathing space to kind of figure out what's going to happen. And perhaps then there'll be a bit more of a gap between Marvel series and Marvel films. So there'll be more films for a while, and then they'll go back to series, and eventually it will even out. But I think probably now this is going to be the start of a sort of another slew of Marvel content. And it's very interesting seeing the reactions to the way that WandaVision has been released, to seeing previous Marvel shows on Netflix, like The Defenders and Jessica Jones, and seeing the way that people have interacted with it and the way that people have responded or wanted it all to be dropped in 1 week. It's been a very interesting cultural moment to witness, and I hope that they can carry that on. But it is going to be interesting to see how everything slots together, particularly, as you mentioned, Matt, Black Widow, where that's now going to sit. Although nothing's off the table when it comes to Marvel, you would imagine that's all a bit of a flashback thing.
Yeah, well, it will be set before these, you know, these series that we're talking about now. It'll be set before WandaVision. It'll be set before Falcon and Winter Soldier as well, because it's set between Captain America's Civil War and Avengers Infinity War. That's where Black Widow's set in that gap of time. So
Yeah, but Loki could, in theory, disappear with the Tesseract and turn up in the middle of that. Who knows?
I'm very intrigued to see what they do with the Falcon and Winter Soldier, just because those characters are so different to Wanda and Vision on literally like every level. It's kind of obviously, you know, buddy dynamic compared to like, you know, lovers. The Falcon and Winter Soldier are kind of, as far as you can be grounded in the MCU, they're among the more sort of grounded characters. They don't really have superpowers themselves. It looks pretty sort of gritty, and it'll be quite actiony, espionage. I think, you know, it'll be just a complete contrast to WandaVision, which is interesting. But because we've kind of spent these 9 weeks getting wrapped up in this world, we're going to be thrown into quite a different world, I imagine, with Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Mm. Which you can read all about in the current issue of SFX. And also Total Film.
I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier has a lot to live up to. We're going to have to set our expectations to a level that we're never going to get a number one iTunes song by a witch.
That is true. That is true. Okay, so lots to look forward to and no real answers, which is how we like it, right? Yeah. Thank you for joining me, you two. And we will be back next week with the Total Film Podcast as a regular. So for now, say goodbye, boys.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Who's been messing up everything?
It's been Agatha all along.
Who's been pulling every evil string?
It's been Agatha all along.
She's insidious. So perfidious that you haven't even known. It's too late to fix anything now that everything has gone wrong. Thanks to Agatha, naughty Agatha.
It's been Agatha all along.
And I killed Sparky too.